Well, safe to say, when Fed Chair Jay Powell heads to the Hill tomorrow, he's going to get a lot of questions about inflation and what he thinks about it, where it's going, and what effect that may have on his and his colleagues' decisions around interest rates. Let's get into that and much more with Doug Phillips. He is the Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester. He joins us on the phone from that fine city in upstate New York. And Janet Lauren also with us. She is endowments reporter for Bloomberg. She's here with us in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Doug, great to have you back with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
All right. So as you take a look at the landscape as a big global investor, you're going to be listening, I'm sure, to Jay Powell tomorrow and Thursday. You're going to be looking at those minutes. How are you feeling about inflation right now? And how does it affect your investment outlook?
Well, first of all, I love that you played the Leon Russell song up on the tightrope for the intro.
That's all credit to our producer, Paul Brennan, who you know well. He's a genius when it comes to that.
Nice job. Nice job. I think that's what that's what's happening. It's a pretty tight position here. I mean, we have had these very low rates for a very long time, and now with the talk of going lower off of what many people think is probably an unsustainably low rate environment, it's tricky because what's happened with these low rates is most of the creation of economic activity has been in the financial markets. The real economy has had some of it, but the boosting of asset prices is really astounding. And then what happened with the long bond when this was being announced was a surprise. And there's concern now that the long bond is one of the riskier assets as we go into maybe even a lower rate environment. So there's all of this generally from the research we're seeing and from money managers, this could be leading to inflation. And that's the tight wire that I think policymakers are on. And if you look at history, there's this thing called inflation expectations and how it's built into pricing and that sort of thing. That typically is a time when you don't want to own long bonds. It's typically a time when equities start to be repriced into lower levels for longer periods. And what's interesting about this from my perspective is a lot of the people that run colleges and universities, including their endowments, haven't lived through an environment like that. And, we've had over 30-year run in bonds, and equities certainly have had decades now of amazing performance with a few blips along the way. But when you get into these protracted periods, and believe me, I'm not a perma-bear or anything like that, but I think you just have to put some historical perspective around this.
Doug, talk to me a little bit. When you talk about some of the risk within the long bond, when you take a look, you have a 30-year treasury at a 253. Part of your investing for the long term is asset liability matching, duration matching. How do you do that when there is so much risk going out in a 30-year long bond?
I'm going to correct that. We don't actually engage in asset liability matching as an endowment. That's a pension construct that relates to actuarial assumptions and that sort of thing. And in those cases, long bonds, buy and hold, may be appropriate. But for endowments, our goal is to meet a spend rate and perform well against the benchmark. And we can absorb some near-term impact because of our spending being averaged over 5 years of market value on the endowment. So that's a common misconception that asset liability matching is a factor for endowments. I do want to say that one of your comments before was about gold. I heard your announcer say that gold was up today. There's an interesting stat when you look at gold, the price of gold and where it is in relation to treasuries. And there's a ratio that when a five-year ratio is exceeded, on a five-year moving average, that's a sign of inflation coming. And one of our services pointed out that on June 18th, it's the first time in over a decade that ratio broke its five-year average. So it's a technical indicator, but gold is up 12% for the 12 months through June of 19. So it's an unusual environment, and I just think it's a time for being careful and looking at perspective and looking at asset prices that have been influenced by low interest rates.
Well, going back to inflation, why is it bad for colleges? Explain
terrible
that.
For colleges, not just bad. Typically, colleges are price takers. We don't have a lot of control over the inputs into our budget. So energy and labor, you know, even though we can cut some, it's very hard to reduce headcount at colleges and universities. And not only that, but we have expenses related to capital improvements and capital maintenance. Those all go up. And back in the early 1980s, when I started my career, there was an Ivy League school that had $1 billion of deferred maintenance. It literally had this recorded on its balance sheet because they couldn't keep up with the cost of maintaining their buildings. They worked their way out of it in the 10 years after that, but that was a very severe situation. And most places couldn't balance their budgets. You can't pass on those costs and tuition increases.
And so, Doug, as you think about how you are allocating and given what you're seeing from the Fed, given what you're seeing as it relates to inflation, does it change the mix at all? I know we've talked to you about alternatives before and sort of how you look at the various asset classes that are there at your disposal.
Yeah, well, we want things that don't correlate to bonds and stocks, and we want things that look undervalued in relation to their long-term perspective, and gold was something we purchased last year, a little over a year ago. That was a good decision. It wasn't big enough to really drive our result, but
interesting.
It was a nice positive return. And the things we stay away from things that are really overvalued, and we do think the 30-year U.S. Treasury is overvalued. So we don't have any of that, no long duration in our fixed income program.
So you just finished your fiscal year. I know it's very early for you to have any results because you got to wait for your private equity returns. But tell us a little bit, what are you thinking?
It's not just very early. It's impossible to even forecast at this point. But I can say that most universities, I believe, are going to have a positive return for the year, despite the 6-month period through December that was really a very negative period, as you recall.
Right.
And then obviously June was a spectacular month for everything, and that I think took a lot of folks by surprise. We had a 10% return for our last fiscal year. We won't have a 10% return this year. It'll be below that. It'll be above zero. So how's that? Somewhere between 0 and 10.
All right. Gives us some guidance. Thank you.
At least some parameters there. All right. Doug Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester. That's where he joined us on the phone from. Always good to catch up with you. And always great to have Janet Loren, Endowments Reporter, following all things education here for Bloomberg. She was here with us in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio.